right, grab out your Bible and something to take some notes with. We are a note-taking church. Come on, if you do not believe it yet, we invest heavily. We have bought notebooks, hundreds of notebooks, because we believe in taking notes. And I promise you, try it. Try it for like a month. And if you hate it, just keep jotting some things down, all right? Just keep on putting. But we're in part two of our series called This Is the Year. And we're talking about items, these things that seem to always crop up on our resolution list. We start in January, we write these things down, we quit by February. The next January, we write the same things. And so we're just asking the question, why couldn't this be the year? Why isn't this the year? Why couldn't this be the time that God speaks to us, that God moves in our lives, that we get free of some things, that God begins to align us with his heart? Why not this year? And so week one, we talked about this is the year that I finally get free. And so if you missed it, you can watch online. But today I want to talk about maybe from where these struggles, these things that we write down, maybe from where they come from, like where they're rooted in, where these things begin, where they find their start. And so we look at it in Proverbs, because I think so many of our struggles, watch what he says, as water reflects the face, so this mirror of what your face looks like, so one's life reflects the heart. To which some of us are like, boo, I don't like that at all. I don't like that because I struggle with some things in my life and I don't think that's right. Stick with me. Because he says, as water reflects the face, as it shows what the face looks like, so one's life reflects the heart. And so I think a lot of our struggle, a lot of the things that we go through, a lot of things that make it on the list time after time, more than just being an issue, I think they're a heart issue. I think that we have a heart issue. In fact, Proverbs 4 says it this way, above all else, say above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Everything. So the way that you treat your spouse, the way that you treat your kids, the way you run your company, the way you treat your friends, the way you live your life, the way you spend your money, the way you do all of these things, for everything you do flows from the heart. So guard your heart. Guard your heart. So we got to deal with some heart issues. And I think even more than that, I want to deal with the one that I think maybe is deeper than all the rest of them. And so if week one was this is the year I finally get set free, week two is this is the year I lose the bitterness. Because if we're going to deal with issues of the heart, how do we deal with bitterness issues? And all of us have encountered in our lives, we've encountered times where we've come across bitterness. In all aspects of it. I remember one time I was on a mission trip in South India. And I had been teaching at a school for a little over a month, teaching just in the area. And so I got to the end of one of the days and I'm just exhausted. Like I am not really like cut out for teaching long stretch. I'm just not the thing, all right? It's not my gifting. I have such a high respect and honor for those that do. Come on, our teachers are phenomenal. They are incredible the way that they do this. It's something inside of me that just gets really, really tired. And so I'm exhausted by the end of the day. And I'm like, I just want to go home and sleep. I just want to do. And the principal of the school in the area, Christian guy, real amazing guy. He was like, hey, can you come back to my office afterwards? I want to meet with you. And there was another pastor, a local pastor in town. He wanted him to come as well. And I really did not want to go, but he enticed me by offering me chai tea. I don't know if you guys ever had Indian chai tea. It's incredible. It's the most amazing thing in the world. So I was like, okay, fine. You bribe me, I will show up. It's like free pizza for college kids. It's just the way it happens for me, all right? And so I show up in the office and we sit down and the first thing he said that we said, he said, now I don't make it like anybody else. And I was like, I'm out. I'm done. He's like, I have a special way of making it that nobody else does. And he said, I can't even remember the exact word. It was some kind of spicy chili that he puts in it. And my reaction is like your reaction. I was like, no, I need to go home and sleep. But he was like, no, I put that. So he brings it out. So he pours this thing into a cup and he hands it to me. First thing I notice is like, it's not even warm, which is red flag number one. It's like lukewarm, everybody. So I'm like, okay, fine. And then suddenly I got a whiff of what was in the cup. And I was like imagine like spoiled meat. Like there's something dead in this cup. There is something like inside it. And I'm like, oh, and then I got a sip of what was in the cup. So I take a sip. I have had some things in my life, but that is like the worst, most nasty thing I have ever drank in my entire life. I have had a lot of things in a lot of places, and this one took the cake. This was like it. And I was like, and immediately, like the most bitter, just nasty. And you know what your face does when you taste something like that, something bitter, right? Your face is involuntary. And like, I know this, so I just like look down because I know what my face, like, ugh, you know what your face does. And I'm just like, like just, I can't even look up. But listen to me, I push through because I am a finisher, all right? I don't know if you know this about me, but I finish what I started. And so I start sipping. Like, look, I'm not saying anything. I don't even hear what they're like carrying the conversation. I don't even know what's happening around me. I'm just like, I'm going to finish this because I am a soldier of God and I will not offend these people. I will do this. And I'm like, as I'm sipping, I'm doing it. And they're talking, they're having a great time. I'm like, I can't even say something because I'll throw up. I don't know. It's just, I can't even. And I do. I don't know if you're proud of your pastor. I finished the entire cup. I'm like, I've done it. I am excited. I have done this thing. And just about that time, that guy looks at me and he looks at me and he says, brother, I had no idea you liked it. So we have plenty. And he fills my cup all the way to the brim. To which I prayed, Lord, take me now because I cannot do this twice. I am just, because the spirit is willing, but the stomach is weak. Come on. I am just like, this is it. I'm done. And about that time, I'm like, Lord, I am a good soldier of Christ, but I quit. And about that moment, he looked at the other guy and he's like, now, brother, will you pray for us? And he bowed his head and he closed his eyes. And this guy bowed his head and he closed his eyes. And I confess before you now, for the first time, I think this has been 15, 20 years ago, first time I confess to you that I did not bow my head and close my eyes. I took my teaspoon and I started spooning my cup back into the pot as quickly as I possibly could. And he's praying, oh, Lord, would you bless us? And he's like, yes, Lord. And I'm like, oh, yes, Lord, keep him praying. Like, keep on. And so I'm listening to him pray because I realize where I found myself. And I'm hearing him begin to pray. And I'm like, and you know, have you ever heard anybody pray like high and lofty prayers? You can kind of guess when they're going to land the plane. Come on, like you understand. You know what I'm talking about? Like some of them, they'll kind of juke you out. Like they go back up and they do. But some people you can kind of understand. And so like I hear the train a-coming and I'm only like a third of the way out of my cup that I put in the thing. Like I'm just like, oh, and so I'm like, forget this. I just take the whole thing and start pouring it back in the pot. And just as I put my cup over, I look up and standing in the doorway is this little like 8 or 9 year old boy with eyes as big as dinner plates looking straight at me with like the biggest grin on his face. Probably there to get in trouble also. That's probably why he was there. That's probably. And I just like slowly put my cup down and I do that super spiritual. I went. And he just big smile and he just goes, just nodding. And that's how I made the best friend I have in this entire world. Come on, somebody. That's just how I. We have all of us encountered bitterness. Come on. I don't know where I was going with it. Bitter things. I'm not talking about bitterness in a cup. I'm not talking about bitterness on our face involuntarily. I'm talking about bitterness in the heart. And if we're honest with ourselves, it's 1,000 times worse. I would say, yeah, this is terrible. This is the worst thing. This is the worst thing. I didn't get caught, by the way. Come on, somebody. Nobody, they have not known. Maybe they're watching online. Maybe they, for the first time. But we've all been there. We've all encountered some form of bitterness in our lives. What makes us bitter? If you're taking notes, I jotted down 4. There's a lot of them, but I jotted down these 4, all right? If you're taking notes, put these down. The first one is some of us are just overlooked. We're overlooked. And if I put them out of order out there, that's on me, everybody. I give them notes and stuff, but it's my fault if they're out of order, all right? And so what's the first one up there? We're overpromised. So if we're overpromised, this is somebody said they would do something. They said they would, they told you that like they loved you to the moon and they would be there forever and they weren't there forever. Or somebody promised you they're like they would pay you for doing something and they didn't pay you. What happens? Bitterness starts to grow in the heart. Or somebody was like, yeah, we're in this together. This thing, I'll never leave you, and they left you. We're overpromised. The second one we do, and here it is, we're overlooked. Have you ever been overlooked and you feel that root? It's easy when you get overlooked to feel that root of bitterness start to kind of grow in your heart because like you did it. Nobody noticed the work that you were putting in. Nobody sees the hard work you did behind the scenes. Nobody looked at it. Your spouse got all the credit or that coworker got the bonus. We're overlooked. Here's another one. You're overloaded. This one's real today. You're overloaded. They just keep putting on work and more work and more things. They keep using me for this because they know that I'm good for it. They keep calling me to do these things because they know that I'll do it. They took advantage. I worked the long hours. I showed up. I was there early and I left late and I did these things, but I got overloaded. They're walking all over me. Here's the last one. I had to put this one in because this is so real. You're overtaken. You're overtaken. What does that mean? I'm there to remind you that people that, man, sometimes you just like, sometimes some of our bitterness comes because there were people who abused us physically or emotionally or mentally, overtaken in our speech, overtaken in our body, and it can create this bitterness in us. It creates a bitterness in our lives when we're over-promised, we're overlooked, we're overloaded, or we're overtaken. Our world is filled with scenarios that cultivate bitterness in us. You understand? Like, we're just filled with scenarios that not only, like, allow it to grow, like, help it thrive, that we encounter this. And here's what happened is that bitterness is caused when we let these negative things that happen to us start to live in us. When we let those things that happen to us, we start to let them live inside. And when you let them live in our heart, that bitterness starts to grow in us. Watch this. Why Hebrews says it this way. Hebrews says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. What's the example he gives us? He's like, bitterness is like a root. Like, you can begin to imagine. I don't have a green thumb to save my life, but you can imagine, like, a plant that's planted begins to take root, begins to, like, get a hold. It does. And here's what it'll do. It takes that root, it causes that trouble, and then it defiles many. And so that bitterness that's in your life, it's starting to defile everything around you. And I want people's attention, because I think this is happening in our world today. Like, there's so much division and there's so much strife because we've let that bitterness grow up more than ever before. Marriages are struggling. Friendships are struggling. Churches are struggling. Groups and businesses and organizations, because we let that bitter root take hold. We let the things that happened around us get inside of us, and now it's defiling everything in our world. And here's what I've realized, and I think it'll be a light bulb moment for you, because it was for me. And that is, we have a justification for this that we feel like makes it right. And here's what it is. Our tendency is to justify our bitterness by calling it fairness. And this is just kind of what I've noticed as a pastor. Our tendency, we justify our bitterness towards others by calling it fairness. And I want you to hear this, because it's like, I'm so mad, and it's right that I'm mad, because what they did is so wrong. And you're right, it is wrong. They should not be doing those things. That person, it's right. It's wrong that they left you. It's wrong that they said those things. It's wrong they promised that and didn't do it. It's wrong that they cheated you. It's wrong they did those things. It's wrong. And so what do we do with things that are wrong? Because for so many of us, what we've done is we've taken on the wrongness that the world has done to us. And we said, we're going to make it right. And I'm going to stay angry, and I'm going to stay mad until it's even, until it's fair, until I get what's fair to me. And you're living bitter in your life. What's the problem with that? The problem is, that's not how God called us to deal with injustices to ourselves. That's not what God has called us to do. What did he say in Romans? He said, hey, don't take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room. Watch this. Leave room for God's wrath. So, like, your wrath is taking up all the room. Come on, somebody. Just get that mental picture. Leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. I will repay. Leave room for God's wrath. Some of you have gotten even no room because your wrath has taken every bedroom of that Airbnb. Come on, somebody. Your anger has moved in, and it's taken all 9.5 bedrooms. That's what's happened. And if I can just encourage somebody, it says leave room. I want you to know, you are a child of God. God is a good father. And so you are his son, or you are his daughter. And so when God says, I will avenge, he means it. He is a good, good father. And just like any of you, any parents, they mess with your kids. They mess with us. Come on, somebody. Like, God understands. So you leave room for God's wrath. But in our own lives, there's no room for our own anger and our own revenge, because it only leads to that bitter root. It only leads to that beating up. But we got to learn how to let go of this wrath in the situation of justice. How do we get the bitterness out of our lives? I want to take you to a story today in the Bible. It's in Genesis 4, if you want to flip there in your Bibles. It's a story of the two first sons that are born. Genesis chapter 4, the two first sons. And I think it's interesting. I think it's telling that our story of bitterness, this idea of where this bitterness, the way we walk through, we're going to outline it in just a second. But I think it's funny, actually. I say telling. I think it's funny that it starts with two brothers, with siblings. And some of you are like, that'll preach right there. That's what's that. Because a lot of times, a lot of our bitterness will come from family. A lot of our bitterness will come from those that are closest to us. And so I want you to see how bitterness steps in this situation. Genesis 4 is the story of Cain and Abel. Start in verse 3. And it said, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. And watch this, the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So here's what's happening. Cain brings God a fruit basket, all right? Cain comes and brings it in and sets it before God. And God is like, okay. And then Abel comes in and brings God a steak basket. Come on, somebody. That's just what Abel just puts that in, and God is like, yes, this is what it is. So if you ever wonder whether God likes fruits and vegetables or meat, but I just want you to know from the very beginning, God made it very clear that he prefers meat. Come on, somebody. He just prefers meat over veggie. I'm not trying to be controversial. I'm just preaching the word. All right. We're just going to keep. So he didn't bring an acceptable sacrifice. Some of you are going to be stuck on that all day. Just forgive. Don't let bitterness rot up. He didn't bring an acceptable sacrifice to God. And so it says the Lord looks at Cain's sacrifice and doesn't approve, but he looks at Abel's and he does. And so verse 5, it says, so Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Like, why is your face downcast? If you do right, will you not be accepted? He's like, Cain, I don't understand. Like, why just change your attitude? Like, just do what's right. But if you don't do what's right, sin is crouching at your door and it desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Listen, if you don't deal with bitterness in your life, if you don't dominate the bitterness, eventually it will dominate you. Eventually it will control everything in your life. Eventually it will overtake. If you don't rule that anger, it will rule over you. So that's what he tells them. But then, Cain is like, hey, Abel, like, let's go out to the baseball field and throw the ball around. I don't know. Cain's like, hey, Abel, let's go hang out. Let's go do something. This is the older brother. And so the younger brother's like, oh, I just can't wait to hang out with my brother. It's going to be so great. We're going to have a catch. We're going to go have a great time. But that's not what happens. While they go in the field, Cain attacks his brother Abel, and he killed him. Now, if you're taking notes, some of you are already writing like, yeah, never trust a sibling. Never trust an older brother. Never trust that you're just... But listen, some lessons for us from this story. If we're gonna recognize where the bitterness comes from, if we're going to recognize what we need to do with it, number one, write it down in your notes. And that is the only thing that bitterness needs to turn deadly is time. The only thing it needs... You leave it alone. You don't even have to feed it. The only thing it needs is just time to turn deadly. What our pastor said, in the course of time, this thing started to grow. There was this problem again and again and again. And this is building up inside of Cain. This bitterness is something that's happened in his life. And it will get into your heart. And you know what you'll do? You'll just kind of sweep it under the rug. And you'll be like, it's fine. It's okay. Whatever. It's fine. It's fine. I know I went through that divorce. I know it's fine. I'm good. I know they cheated me and they did those things. I know it, but it's fine. It's fine. I'm good. I'm okay. I'm fine. You guys, it's not that big a deal. And here's what happens if you don't deal with it. Hebrews says, right, it starts to take root in our hearts. And you got to be really, really good at discovering bitterness in the early days and getting it out of your life. Because if you don't, it will dominate everything else. Because what does Hebrews say? If you leave it, if you're like, it's good. It's like, if you don't leave it, if you realize like, hey, I don't know. And so you have to be able to understand, is there anything bitter in my heart? Anything I've allowed to take root? It's kind of like my example over here. I did this because I want you guys to have an example to take, right? I want this thing. So it's kind of like this over here. I've got these two plants. And so the first one, let's say bitterness comes in your life. And so I've got this little bush plant thing. I don't know. Give me some grace here. All right? I told you, no green thumb. I got whatever this is. And you're like, yeah, it's just a small thing. You're like, look how cute it is. Look at it. It's something that works. And so you start to just like leave it. You're like, okay, it's there. I'm whatever. Somebody hurt me. Somebody said something. Somebody promised they would and they didn't. And so now I've got this thing, but it's not that big. I could kill it if I wanted to. Like, whoop, I could get rid of that thing. But what happens is you get in moments. You have to have moments like we're going to have today where you recognize, okay, yeah, I have this thing. Even though it's small, I have this thing. And so the Lord's going to start working on me and the Holy Spirit's going to start doing it in my life. And so he's going to start shaking that little bush or that little tree. And I'm going to begin to think. And what you don't realize is, and maybe you will in this moment, if you don't pull it out, or even if you do, let's say it stayed this small. What you don't realize is underneath that thing, there were roots. I'm hoping this works. Come on, somebody. There we go. There are roots underneath this thing that have taken root in your life. And so you're like, yeah, I'm going to pray and I'm going to get alone before the Lord. And God starts shaking that thing and starts pulling it out. And you're like, you don't even realize. Some of you, you'll start to recognize like, yeah, those roots went a lot deeper than I thought they would. They affected me in a lot deeper ways than I thought it would. And that bitterness took a lot deeper root. And you have to deal with it early, because if you don't, you don't get it in the early days. All of a sudden it becomes this. And you didn't deal with the bitterness the first time, and you didn't do it when God pointed his finger in the Holy Spirit. You were sitting here in the service and God was pointing at a certain thing and you're like, nah, I'll let it go. It's just a small whatever thing. And suddenly it's not so small anymore. And suddenly, God starts pointing at it. It's been year after year after year. You've let that thing work its way into your life, and the roots are so much deeper. This thing's like five times bigger now, and so much deeper. It got a grip on your life, and you're like, yeah, I'm going into 21 days of prayer and fasting, but I just can't seem to work it out. And the Holy Spirit starts working on you. Starts working on you, starts shaking it, starts doing things, starts trying to, you say, hey, this is something you need to work with. And you're like, nah, it's fine. But then you're like, okay, I'm finally going to do it. And it's so much bigger than you ever dreamed it would be. And so you're like, okay, I'm going to get in like a small group and I'm going to get some accountability. And God's going to keep moving and he's going to keep working. I'm going to come up for prayer after service on a Sunday. I'm going to work this thing. I'm going to do it. And God keeps working. And you got to get that thing loose because God's, the Holy Spirit's going to keep going. But it's going to be a whole lot harder than the first time. But you have to get it out of your life. You have to get that root loose. You have to begin to go. Because if you let this thing grow, some of you year after year, you've let that thing grow. You've let it go and you've let it get deep. Because eventually, if you don't deal with it, Lord, this is heavy. Come on, somebody. I didn't know pricks. This is some of your life right now. Right now, you're just like waving this thing around. Got this tree of bitterness in your life. And so, you know this is your life. Somebody's like, how you doing? You're like, I'm fine. I'm good. I don't have any problems. And they're like, really? Because you just went through like a brutal divorce. I'm over it. Really? Because it doesn't seem like you're over it. I'm fine. I'm good. Some of you walking in church, you're like, I'm not offended by church. I'm not offended. Got your arms crossed. Like, I'm not offended by that. I'm fine. Got this massive tree. I'm about to knock a light out. Come on, son. Got this massive tree of bitterness growing in your heart. If you don't deal with it, let's see if this table breaks. We're going to see if this, there we go. Some of you don't deal with it. Some of you taking notes are like, I can't get the last blank because it's not. It will grow. It will create a root in your life that I promise you is 1,000 times harder than the little plant. If you don't deal with it in the early days, number one, we got to deal before it kills us. Number two, bitterness starts small, but eventually it will consume everything. Eventually it will consume everything. So it starts small in your heart and then it begins to consume everything. And what happened in our passage? Look at Cain. This bitterness that started. Look at what happens to Cain. Cain's offering, the Lord did not look with favor. And so Cain was angry. And what happened? His face was downcast. As the Lord comes to Cain, and the Lord is like, you ever met anybody whose face, like, you ever met anybody there maybe in like a different season of life than you? Maybe older or younger or whatever it is. And you come across them and you're like, that person, you're not a happy person. Like, you ever come encounter with that? You're like, I'm not talking about they're going through a season in their life. I'm saying like just in general. They're just like, their default is just nothing. Just no. And you're like, you're just not. It's like it shows on our face. They're just angry. They're just bitter. It starts to show. And so the Lord says, why are you angry? To which I can just imagine Cain be like, I'm not angry. I'm not mad. And the Lord answers his question like with another question. He's like, then why is your face like that? Why? Because bitterness doesn't just start, it doesn't like start in our face, but it spreads there. It starts to affect every part of us. And look what the Lord says in verse 7. If you do what is right, won't you be accepted? If you don't, though, you won't. But sin is crouching at your door. It's desires to have you, but you must rule over it. So it starts in the heart, but it doesn't just stay there. So we go, oh, it's fine. It's fine. It's not affecting me. It's affecting every part of you. And so not only does it spread to your face, it's affecting the way you treat others. It's affecting the way you treat your family. It's affecting the way you treat your friends, your business. It's affecting every part. And it doesn't just stay in our face. It begins to spread. Watch this. So from the heart, it stays to our face, and then it comes out of our mouth. Watch this in Luke. Luke chapter 6. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So it doesn't start here, but it spreads. Starts in our heart, spreads to our face, comes out of our mouth. It's affecting every part of you because you didn't rip it out by the roots at the beginning. Affecting every part. And so that person, you know, that person cuts you off in traffic and that word comes out of your mouth. Come on, somebody. And your kids are in the car and you're like, oh, I would never have said that. I don't know. I don't, kids. One time I was with my daughter, Hava. She's in kids zone right now, so she doesn't know. I was with my daughter, just her and I. She was about 4 years old. And we're driving in the van and she's in the very, very back and somebody cut me off. Somebody like did what Louisiana Drive, like came across four lanes, decided they need to go. And I said something. And I thought she's just like listening to music or like doing stuff. And about 2 seconds later, I hear, Papa, what does mean? And listen to me, it wasn't even that bad of a word. It's just a word you don't want your four-year-old saying, all right? You don't want them going home and telling mama. That's what you don't want them saying. And I was like, it's a fish. It's a fish. Go back to your music. Go do. But you're like, oh, and I'm like, I have no idea where that came from. I know exactly where that came from. In here. And some of us have bubbled up so much. What the heart is full of, the mouth begins to speak. We start saying stuff because there's bitterness issue. And let me help some relationships here. I wasn't going to do this, but we'll just keep on going. You start seeing it through your passive aggressive comments that you say, like to each other. I'll just help some marriages today. You start seeing, you want to recognize like when it starts coming out of your mouth. You start seeing it through the passive aggressive, like, oh, you're going on another trip, another work thing. Oh, that's great. That's fine. Cool. Have fun. Oh, you cleaned the house today. That's good. I'm glad you finally cleaned the house today. That's really, it looks neat, I guess. It's cool. Oh, you're playing golf again. Oh, that's fine. Yeah, you know, we could have watched a movie. We could have done, but that's fine. If that's what you want to do, have fun. I'm just stepping on every marriage. That's just the way I want to do. This passive aggressive, and you need to stop. Honestly, if you ever hear it, if you ever start it, or you hear yourself say it, you need to stop for a moment. Just be like, whoa. Like, where is it coming from? What root is building up? What thing is growing in? What thing is trying to take control? And you got to hit it head on. Number three is bitterness must be killed or it will kill. You either kill it or it will kill you. If you don't hit it head on, it'll kill your marriage. It'll kill your joy. It'll kill your family dynamic. It'll kill your friendships. I'm telling you, I am on an all-out attack on this because I see this in family after family. In friendship, relationship after relationship, in church after church, in organization, company, the way the devil finds his way in is through an offense. Through something small or through something big, but through an offense and through bitterness, he puts that root in the heart till once there was unity and now there's disunity. There's dissension. And it starts with bitterness. Your goal is early on to begin to see that. Your goal is to begin to see, okay, I'm going to work this thing out of my life. So you got to get it out. So Genesis, what happens? He says, Cain and Abel, they go to the field. And while they're in the field, Cain attacks his brother and kills him. What's the result of the bitterness? The result is that its full extent. When it's fully grown, it will kill. At its full extent, it will kill your marriage. It'll kill your joy. It'll kill your relationship with your kids. At its full extent, it will kill. And I've seen it happen over and over. We got to hit it head on. So I'm a practical preacher. I want to give you a few things, the practical things. If we're gonna get the bitterness out, we're going to work it out by its roots. The Holy Spirit's going to give us the power to work through some things that we can live a life bitter-free. Paul actually hits it in Ephesians. Watch this verse. Paul says, get rid of all bitterness. Everybody say all. All. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. So you get all that other stuff thrown in today. We're just going to kind of outline this. But Paul's like, get rid of all of the bitterness. Get rid of everything. Because we got to get rid of everything that is done. So let's write it down. Let's begin. He says, get rid of everything. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgiving each other, just as in Christ, just as in God, Christ forgave you. So just as God forgave you, be kind and compassionate, forgiving each other. So let's write it down. Let's, we rid ourselves of the bitterness. We begin to work it out by this root. Let's kind of outline this thing together. The first one is we rid ourselves, as easy as this verse is, by being kind to one another. We're going to be kind. Some of you are like, where's the deep truth at? It's not deep. It's hard to do. Come on, somebody. That we're going to be kind. And I wrote this down, a little definition for this meaning. We're going to treat people the way that we want to be treated. Now, some of you teach your kids the golden rule. You've been teaching that all the way, but we don't live it. We don't actually put it into practice today. Here's what I think has happened. And this is just my consensus, all right? You can take it or leave it. This is what I think has happened in the last few years. Like ever since like 2020 and the pandemic or elections or just anger or things. This is what happened. What happens, we become people that have prided ourselves on fairness. I talked to you a little bit about this. So it's wrong. It's wrong they make me wear that. It's wrong they didn't take that. It's wrong that that person or that person was elected. It's wrong that they did this. It's wrong that they stepped out. It's wrong that they said that to me. It's wrong that this happened. It's wrong that they do it. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. And so I'm going to make sure it's right. I'm going to make sure that I get even. I'm going to make sure that person doesn't get ahead in life. I'm going to make sure we made everything about our own self-fairness and our own self-justice. And I need to get even. And we tell people it's so important. I know it's important that things are right. But as Christians, we are not called to be the champions of our own self-justice. We are called to be the champions of kindness. And I realize it's not cool anymore. I realize it's like this cliche, whatever. We don't even want to dabble in it. But we are not called to get ourselves even with everybody in our world. We are called to be compassionate and loving to those around us. And I think we have lost sight of turn the other cheek because we care so much. It needs to be fair. It needs to be even. I think this is so hard for people because we want things to be. Remember what Paul said, though. Paul said, God says, I will avenge. I will repay. So instead of I'm going to get even with people, here's what we're going to do. I need to look at ways I can be kind to people. And you watch how the bitterness starts to work out of your life. And remember, you're thinking, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, things still need to get done. Like, we still need to get people saved. Remember what the Bible says. It's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. We're like, we got to get the people in our world saved. You want to see the world come to repentance, it's going to be the kindness of God to repent that brings them. Too many times we want sanctification before we ever offer salvation. And we got the cart before the horse. You realize it's not going to be. People aren't getting saved and the world's not coming to the Lord because the church stood up and pointed its finger up their nose and said, wrong, 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 bad, bad, bad. People are coming to the Lord because we stood up and said, how can we serve you? How can we love you? How can we show the kindness of God? The mercy of God. But we're like, no, we need sanctification. You can't darken the door of the church unless you get sanctified and holy first. And that is backwards. Not a one of you was sanctified and holy when you came to Jesus. I can guarantee you I was a million miles away. There's not a chance. And we say, well, we cleaned ourselves. You didn't do nothing. Come on, somebody. It's the mercy of God. And far be it from our church if we were to receive his mercy and not give it. I'll talk about that in just a second. I know you are thrilled by that. We're going to be, here's the second one. The second one, we're outlining this. It says, we kind to one another. The second one, we rid ourselves from bitterness by being compassionate with one another. And here's what, now this is important. Here's what it means. And that is you have to learn to give people grace. You got to learn to give grace. Now listen, I know I don't like giving grace. I love receiving grace. Come on, so you know, like when you love receiving it, I hate giving it. Like we just can't. It's just something. You ever done something where you knew you were wrong? You knew like you screwed it up. There's no way to blame somebody else. No way to get out of this. You just knew it, and you went to that person, and you like finally just like admitted after weeks of whatever it was. And you ever had that person be like, "No, I understand. It's fine. I realize people get busy. I realize things happen. I know it's fine. I'm not perfect either. That's fine." You ever had somebody give you? I love receiving grace. We need to be people who love to give grace. Who love to just give people grace. And here's how you do it. You want the easiest way to give someone grace. You give everyone around you the benefit of the doubt. You just give them the benefit of the doubt. You just begin to believe the best. You say, I don't know what's going on in their life. I don't know what thing is causing them to act this way or speak that way. I don't know what made that, but I'm going to have compassion towards them. And you give them the benefit of the doubt. It's like traffic. I don't know if you guys know. So 21 days of prayer, we talk about food and traffic. That's just the way it happens. But like I'm sitting back, right? I'm in my car. I'm in my truck. 21 years old, this thing. This truck is, I don't care about it. You can hit me. I'm putting my truck where I need it to be. And so I'm in like a merge lane. And we're like going forward. And I'm a good Christian though. So I'm sitting back. I'm going to let people. I'm like a lukewarm. I'm like halfway up, all right? But I'm there. I'm doing what I need to do on the road. And it's a zipper merge. So 1-1-1-1, you understand? Like that's how traffic flows. That's what we should be doing if you put one. But if two try to go in, what happens to a zipper? If two let it, that's just my own, forget that. And so I'm letting it. So I let my one in. I've done what I needed to do. But the truck after him also wants to get in. And I'm like, no way, not today. Like, this is my thing. I'm pulling out. Like, I'm the car keeping him from, I'm just pulling up right thing. And so they're in the truck and they're like motioning and gesturing. And I'm just like, eyes forward, right? I'm not looking. I've done what I needed to do. Everyone's been there. And I think about not just this message. I think about this idea. Like, it comes out. I'm like, no, I don't want to. I'll do it in every other area of life. But he is wrong. I don't have to let him. I did what I needed to do. I got places to go. And then I think about this, though. I think about this, like this idea of, okay, I'm going to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. Like, he may be going to the hospital to see his mother, and it may be the last time on earth he gets to talk with her. And he needs to go in front of me in this traffic that is 8 miles long. One car ahead, it may make a difference, I don't know. So I'm going to let him. You're like, that's not happening. Who cares? Let him go. Let him through. You're like, well, they're taking advantage of. Who cares? And see how it works the bitterness back out of your life. You start doing it in every environment, not just the traffic. We can laugh about that. Do it there too. Come on, somebody. You say, why? Because there are a lot of crazy people. They will put their car straight into your... That's not the reason. Listen, the reason is you start doing this in every area of your life. You start working the bitterness out. See how it works the bitterness back out of your heart. Because now you're not trying to get even with them. We move on. You're not trying to get even in every situation. You're not trying to make it right, make it fair for yourself. And watch how it begins to work bitterness out of your life. And you're like, I'm going to follow them to the hospital. Make sure they are going there. That's where I'm going to go. That's great. You will lose. Listen, you want to begin to work bitterness out. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Number three, what does he say? He says, okay, then we're going to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Here's how we rid ourselves of the bitterness. We forgive each other. We're going to be kind to each other. We're going to be compassionate. We're going to forgive. You know what this means? You know what you have to learn how to do? You have to learn how to let the hurt go. You have to let it go. And it's a conscious decision to say, you know what? They hurt me. It was real. I'm not diminishing it. Like it happened. It was a real thing. And I'm not going to be a doormat. I'm going to have healthy boundaries in my life. I'm going to begin to live. But I'm not going to live so offended and so real that I cannot offer forgiveness. I'm going to offer forgiveness to every person in my life. I'm going to begin to offer. And that's what I'm asking as we close out this message. Whoever's hurt you, whoever's offended you, whoever's done whatever. I don't know what they did, but I do know what I'm asking. I do know what will get the root of bitterness out of your heart. I don't know what the action was. It was overlooked, overpromised, over you, whatever it was. I don't know what the action was, but I do know how to work the root of bitterness out. And you got to begin to let some things go. That we have to deal with this idea. We have to give forgiveness. So you know how we deal with forgiveness as human beings? Like in our own way. You know how we do it? We're like somebody hurts me. Let's say somebody did something. You said something about me, or you said you would do something and you didn't do it. You promised, you did, you cheated, you did, whatever it was. You did those things. You know what we do? We come in moments like this, okay? We have the hurt. We have the thing that's in us. And we recognize, we come into like a sermon like this and we're like, okay, I can see clearly what the bitterness is. And I hear you, Pastor. I know that I need to forgive. I know that. And so our process, we start reaching like into our pockets, into our bank of forgiveness. Come on, somebody. And we're like, okay, I have pulled out my dollar of forgiveness. I pulled it out. Here it is. I have this dollar. I it means a lot to me. But I heard the message and I can't live in that place anymore of unforgiveness. I know what bitterness is doing. I saw the big tree. I hear you, Pastor. It's great. And so I'm going to forgive this person. I am going to, this person has hurt me and it's real and I'm not diminishing, but I am going to give them my dollar of forgiveness. This is, look, my bank is empty. This is what I had. I had my dollar of forgiveness and I'm going to give it. I'm not going to live there anymore. I'm going to give it. And so here, you hurt me, take my dollar. Yeah, grab it. You can put it in the tithe or something. I don't know. Go put it. We're like, fine, I have done it. And then someone else hurts me. And I'm like, what you got for that, Pastor? I don't know what that is. They hurt me too. Or God forbid, the same person hurts me again. And we're like, no, okay, I got this deep in my, I put this in my heart. I know what I'm supposed to do. Like, I know. So we go to the other side and we're like, okay, I'm going into my bank of forgiveness. And I've got one more. I've got one more dollar of forgiveness. I hear you, Pastor. And Jesus said 70 times 7. And I know what I need to do. And so here it is. This is my, like, this is a big deal. But I'm not going to live in the jail of unforgiveness anymore. I'm not going to live in that prison. And so I am going to forgive. And you say things like that when you go. You're like, this means a lot to me to do this. This is costing me a lot. And you don't deserve it. But the pastor said that I needed to. And so I forgive you. Here's my, you did it. And so fine. You want to do it? You want to think? I take it. Here's my dollar. And you reach a place. Listen to me. Listen to me close. Cause somebody is here. You reach a place where you're like, okay, I am bankrupt of forgiveness. I'm broke. I gave everything I had. I'm at my wit's end with this person. I forgave them and I can't trust anybody ever again. And it was hurt after hurt. It was pain after pain. And you can't even offer forgiveness to anybody else in your world because you're so broke. You're like, I gave it all. I gave everything that I had. And you make statements like that. Like I'm at my rope's end. I cannot figure out. And you can't even offer people forgiveness because you're so empty. But you miss what Paul said in the passage. Because this is what Paul didn't say. Paul didn't say, offer forgiveness and give forgiveness to the measure that you're able to give to people. Everybody's bank is different, so just give forgiveness in the measure that you are. What did he say? He said, forgive others to the measure that Christ forgave you. And that is a game changer in this life. As Christians, that is, again, because we are not, as Christians, we are not bankrupt in our thing. We are not bankrupt in coming before. We're not bankrupt in our faith of going, man, I got nothing else to give. Man, I got no other thing. Where's the line? Throw this up there. We're not bankrupt in our idea of things. Man, this is, it's like the worst drug deal ever. You guys are looking at me like it's like. No, as Christians, our mindset changes. What are we going to do this? Let's do it right. No, Paul said, as Christ forgave you. But yeah, let's do this right here. Let's just see. As Christ forgave you. And so you know what happens when we come to Christ? We come to him broke and we come to him bankrupt and we've given all that we have to give and we feel like I got nothing more. But then as Christians, we come to Christ, we encounter the love of God. And here's what happens when you encounter the love of God. The love that never ends. The love of God that he gives us that overflows, that never, ever ends. The love of God that caused him to send his only son to this earth. The love of God that loved you so much that sent him to a cross. The love of God that every nail that went in his hand, the love that never ended, the love that held him on that cross, the love that rose him from the dead, the love of God that has, you know what happens when you encounter that as a Christian? I'll show you what happens. We come to God and we think, well, I'm bankrupt and I have nothing left to give and I have no other things to do. You know what happens when you encounter the love of God? That has no end. That's suddenly a deposit in our life that begins to counter. Yeah, come on. Now, anytime I encounter anybody. Oh, this is awesome. This is going to be great today. Anytime I encounter anybody that then needs forgiveness, I'm like, yeah, sure. Have some. I encounter anybody, the time that somebody hurts me, I'm like, yeah, fine, whatever. Now, to those of you who are questioning the stewardship of our church, this is fake money. Come on, somebody. I'm just like... I understand the visual of a pastor waving money like this. Get that out of your head. Somebody on the front, they're like, my prayers are answered. That's the thing. But every time I encounter somebody who then needs forgiveness, I'm like, yeah, whatever. Somebody that hurts me, I'm like, yeah, no. I have no problem offering forgiveness to the people in my life because I recognize the deposit of grace that has been given to me. I'm like, yeah, it's whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I gave it. I did whatever I need. I did. You guys are like, this is like the, it's not ending. To the measure that Christ forgave us. I told somebody, you need to sit on the front row. I told you that's what you need. I forgive you. I have no problem. No, I can't live in unforgiveness anymore because it's just so over. I'm like, yeah. And then they hurt me. I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's just like, some of you over here, you need forgiveness. I have no problem. I can't live that way anymore because of the deposit. I recognize it. I know you see it the same way I do. I recognize what God has deposited in my life. How great a mercy, how great a grace he has given. Far be it from me to withhold it from others. I'm not bankrupt. I'm not broke. No. The love of God that has overflowed. Now every person I can offer forgiveness. More than I could possibly imagine. And so I can't live in it's impossible for me to live in unforgiveness anymore. It's impossible for me. I've lost the ability to hold on to my own resentment. I've lost the ability to let that bitterness take its root. And I'm going to grab that thing by the roots. I'm going to tear it out because of the grace that God has put into my life. Look, I don't know who has hurt you. I don't know who's offended you. I don't know who rejected you. I don't know who did whatever it was. I don't know where the bitterness came from, but I understand, as I know you understand, is that the power and the love and the mercy and the grace of God, that what he has put inside of us, that you can let it go. That you can forgive. That you can walk free. Amen, everybody. Hey, bow your heads as we pray today. Holy Spirit, do a deep work in our heart. Because there's somebody here, God, who's hurt. Somebody here who's overlooked. Somebody overloaded. Somebody who's been overused. Somebody who's had that happen in their life, overwhelmed. And the Holy Spirit is asking you right now to let it go. Grab that thing by the roots. Don't let bitterness take its place. Grab that thing and rip it. The Holy Spirit is working in your life right now. Somebody who's been hurt. Somebody who's held on to that pain. But right now, the Holy Spirit is pointing a finger right at it. And he's saying, let it go. Release the bitterness. Release the bitterness against that friend. Release the bitterness against your previous employer. Release it against your church or against your small group or against that person. Release that bitterness against your spouse. Let it go. Holy Spirit, we pray, do a deep work inside our heart. Grab that thing by the roots. And you're here today and you go, Ben, there's something. It might be small. It might be this tree. And you're like, Ben, there's something. It's got the root of bitterness in my heart. And I want the Lord to take it out. I want to pray for you. You're like, I don't know what to do, but I know I want it out. I want it to. I want to pray for you right now. I just want to begin to pray. God, we pray like David prayed. Create in us a clean heart. No roots of bitterness. None of that stuff that year after year we've held on to, Lord, where we struggle and there's bitterness and worry. Lord, let us be kind and compassionate. Let us forgiving others just as Christ forgave us. Lord, the forgiveness you gave to us, let us then give it to others. In this moment, God, do it deep in our heart. We pray that in Jesus' name. Now listen, there's one more group that needs to respond today. And that is, you're here, you're watching online, and you're like, yeah, that sounds great, but I'm so far from God, I can't even ask Him to do that work in me. I'm so far away from Him, I'm so far, I'm holding bitterness, and maybe your bitterness is against God. Maybe somebody in the church that hurts you, or somebody that said something, or somebody that ran you far away. Listen to me, change begins when you come to Him. You don't have to get yourself all cleaned up and presented and then come before. No, right now change begins when you run to Him. And so you say, I'm all messed up and I got this stuff in my heart and I have these things that I'm walking through. I'm going, and you're like, and I've got all this stuff inside of me, but I want to change. I want to be different. Listen, it doesn't happen outside in. It begins in the heart and it works its way out. And so right now, the only place you need to be is running to the Father, running to God and saying, make me clean. Make me whole. Put in me a new heart. You want to make some things right. You want to begin to live the life God has called you to live. It starts with surrender to Him. And look, I don't know what anybody has ever told you. I don't know what you've ever heard in your life, in church or anywhere else. But I want you to know that God loves you and that God wants you. If nobody else loved you, if everybody pushed you away, if that bitterness came from rejection or abuse or whatever it was, I want you to know in this time that God loves you, that God wants you more than you could possibly imagine. It says He's a loving Father. He's waiting for you to come home. Run to Him in these moments. If you say that to me, you say, hey, I want God to put a new heart inside of me. I want to surrender Him. Listen to me. It begins with a prayer. And as our churches are, we pray this with every person who ever wanted to pray it. Every week we pray this with anyone who wants to come to the Father. Because listen, I'm not going to make you raise your hand or come to the front. I'm not looking to embarrass you in front of whoever you came with. Right now it's between you and God. But it starts with a prayer of surrender. And so that's you. You say, I want to be set free. I want to surrender to Him. Pray this prayer with us right now. And come on, church, pray with me. Nobody prays alone. Say these words. Say, Jesus, forgive me of all my mistakes, of all my sin. I repent. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again. And I make you the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Now come on, church. Can we give God praise for what He's done today?